What's up, everybody? I have Brandon Elliott here with me in the studio. I'm so excited. Brandon, how's it going, brother?
Good, Michael. How you doing, brother? Appreciate you having me.
Amazing, dude. I'm so pumped to have you on. If you guys don't know Brandon Elliott, you need to get to know this guy. He is the host of the Ready, Set, Go Real Estate Investing podcast. He's the author of Action Driven, a book that he released not too long ago. And this dude is just crushing it. And why I brought Brandon into the studio is because he uses credit to buy properties. A lot of you guys think of credit as something bad. You know, you want to stay, you know, behind the credit line. You don't want to be spending a bunch of money. But listen, he's going to show you exactly how he does deals with credit. So, Brandon, dude, I'm super excited for today. Are you excited?
Yeah, man, I'm pumped. I love the energy. Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
It's going to be awesome. And dude, why don't you just give us a little insight about where you came from and how you got into real estate investing? I know your story, but some of our audience probably isn't going to know your story, and it blew me away. So I want to see if it blows our audience away as well.
Sure. Yeah. So basically I'm from New Jersey originally, grew up super poor, American poor, that is, you know, which is still pretty, it's extremely privileged in comparison to other places around the world. But grew up in New Jersey, single parent mom, you know, she was manic, depressive, bipolar. And I just grew up the only man in the house. So at a very young age, I knew I had to work. I had to make some income. Money was always the number one stress in our house. And I ended up going down the wrong path, unfortunately. You know, I found myself smoking weed for the first time in like eighth grade with some older girls and some good friends of mine. I liked it. It was a good release for me at the time. And I realized because I was so poor, I needed to actually be the one in my group of friends that was selling it. So it took me down a long path of pain, frustration, guns to my head, knives to my throat, best friends, you know, turning on me and robbing me several days before Christmas. You know, the whole nine, you know, a bunch of negative things in my life, a lot of depression, and just a crazy world that I was living in. So I moved out here to San Diego when I was 21, about 9 years ago now. And yeah, I ended up, I cut out some of the negativity, you know, that was in New Jersey for me, but I was still doing the same lifestyle. I just had bigger and different goals, all misguided in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. So I started, I was growing weed out here. I was manufacturing hash oil, and that's where I had an explosion in my apartment back in 2013.
An explosion in your apartment, dude.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. All the windows burst. I was on fire. My kitchen was on fire.
Was there anybody living with you at the time or just you?
No, it was just me. It was just me. I had my best friend, thankfully, that I grew up with in New Jersey. He moved to Denver, Colorado, and he was staying with me for the month. So he wasn't there at the time. He was at work. But he came back and he saw that the cops were like wheeling me off or the ambulance and the whole crazy, you know, I ended up burning 40% of my body. So they induced me into a coma. I went through three surgeries. I had to learn how to walk again. It was just one of those like eye opening experiences that I was like, you know, never again. If I'm intelligent enough to go down this wrong path and be successful at it, you know, what can I do if I get the right education or the right mentorship and the guidance to really take the same intelligence and put it towards something good that I don't need to like look over my shoulder or my back about?
Definitely, man. So you have this crazy life experience. What happens after, man? Is it like, do you go back to normal or is it just like, totally different perspective now?
Yeah. So thankfully, like with my personality type, I'm so, I'm like all in or not at all type of thing. Like I'm either just running at it and I'll figure out it, any issues or any problems that come up as I go, try to solve it then. That's just the craziness with my personality type. So I ended up getting a lot of charges against me. You know, I had five counts of potential felonies that were over my head. I could have served, the maximum amount would have been 12 years. Realistically, I was signed up for like 5 years I was going to serve. So I had this like pain point over my shoulder that I was scared of what the consequences could be. Right. So I was in jail for a couple weeks. I was released finally. And I was during pretrial service. I had, you know, the lawyer kept on giving me time. So we extended it about 2 years, but basically, I just had it over my shoulder that I could be serving a lot of time. So I just started getting my act together. I started getting personal development, reading as much as I could. I realized that, you know, I was working two jobs as well. It was the first time I was ever in debt, which was like $10,000. So I was like scared to death at the time. Now it's funny because I'll go into millions of dollars worth of debt, but it's good debt. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I'm not scared at all because I know I have a tangible.
It's funny that you say good debt because a lot of people don't understand that. So I'm hoping today through this podcast, you guys understand the difference between good debt and bad debt. So yeah. I wanted to point that out there.
It's so crucial. Yeah. I mean, that's a great topic right there. You know, the difference between, you know, bad debt would be something that you're not actually going to get a return from, you know, credit card debt that you have nothing attached to it is bad debt. If you're just going to, you know, to spend money at the, you know, for clothes, luxury items, food, whatever it may be excessively, then yeah, that's bad debt. But good debt is obviously assets tied behind it. So nevertheless, you know, with this whole situation over my head, I ended up getting a house arrest. I got a mentor at the time that guided me into what to say at the right time in court. So I got house arrest for like 6 months, probation for 3 years. During that time, I got other mentors, mastermind groups I was a part of. I wrote my first book. I was telling my story more in there, called Action Driven. And then I started, you know, developing the whole, the real estate situation. And I was picking up properties actually while I was on house arrest.
Oh, really? Ooh, wow.
Yeah. So I worked two jobs, about 14 hours a day, two restaurant jobs, saving up money. I only saved up $35,000, and I started looking in areas in San Diego. Couldn't get into it because I wasn't educated enough. I was going against real investors, all cash, no contingencies. And then I started looking in Ohio. And
why Ohio? Why'd you pick that out of like all the other places? You could have picked Kentucky, where I'm at, or like, I don't know.
Yeah, man. So I started looking in other areas after 2 years of getting denied out here in San Diego. Because I submitted at least like 45 offers and all just kept on getting denied.
Dang, man. That's consistency though. Like a lot of you guys are out there just submitting two or three offers and getting discouraged, man. Like yes. you said 40, like close to 45?
At least. Yeah, at least.
Yep. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's just the persistence. I started getting to the point that I was like, you know, even if I get an offer accepted on a bad deal, I'd rather mess up and learn sooner than later and just like get into something. So I was starting to get a little bit desperate, but basically I started looking in other states, and most states weren't really aligning with the numbers that I was looking for because I was trying to do the BRRRR strategy.
Okay.
At the end of the day, I had three different people that I looked up to that recommended the same area, just basically Ohio, the state, in 1 whole week. So I just took it as a sign that, you know, I'll check out the numbers. And I was looking for a couple different things. I was looking for job growth, population growth, and then something unique about the area and the strategy, the BRRRR strategy that I fell in love with that I utilize in real estate. It made sense right over there. So that's what I did.
That's awesome, man. Well, dude, your story is so powerful. In your Action-Driven book, you talk about all this.
Yeah, I actually put some nasty pictures in there while I was in the hospital and the skin graft. And
so, guys, make sure you click the link below and get that book. We're going to have all the resources that he offers and all his social media stuff below. But make sure you just go check that out because I want you guys to experience this. I know a lot of you guys are out in your car driving. You're probably distracted with kids running around at home or something like that. But listen, I want you to listen to this and read his story because this could be what takes you to the next level, is just realizing, hey, even though you start at one place, you don't have to stay there. You can always go out and achieve more. But dude, so I got a question. Your first property you ever bought.
Yeah.
Did you just pay like cash? Did you get what did that look like? Tell us about that first property.
Yeah, so I ended up getting a big list together. It was about like 200 at first. And then once I really narrowed it down, it was 60 properties I went to actually go look at in Ohio. Once I got out there, spent a couple days looking at them, I found quickly narrowed it down to like 30, and then basically five that were like the golden ticket ones.
Okay.
So I submitted offers on three of them, and then two of which got accepted fairly quickly. You know, we had to go back and forth with negotiating, you know, which is always a good, it's always a good thing if in comparison to getting accepted right away. but yeah, the first one I ended up getting it for $9,000 cash. They originally wanted like 30,000, I think, but it was a motivated seller. And then the other one, it was a triplex, and I closed to the day 2 months later. I did hard money with that one, so I had to put down 25%, and that was the rest of the money that I had saved up. So I had $35,000 in total saved up, and it all went to buying these two properties.
Okay, awesome. So here's a question I have for you. How did you get transitioned into credit? Like, when did you have that epiphany that, hey, I can use credit to buy properties? When did that come later? Or was that something you already knew about and you were planned on utilizing?
So when I purchased those two properties, they both, like the $9,000 one was super distressed. Like everything needed to be, it had good bones, but besides that, everything needed to be gutted and replaced. So that was a total remodel. And then the other, the triplex, that was about 7,000 worth of just quick, you know, little touch-ups here and there that needed to be done. I used credit cards to do that. So I ended up just calling up my credit card companies, asking if they had any promotional deals going on, because I actually used this strategy mistakenly several years before in a negative way for, you know, purchasing a lot of product at the time.
Right.
Yeah, doing some illegal wholesaling.
I like that. That's funny.
So yeah, that was, I mean, I used credit to be able to complete the remodels, and that's what I learned right from the start. It was at 0% interest for 18 months. I completed the remodels. I had a lot of learning curves with those, but afterwards I was able to cash out, refinance. They both, you know, they all rented for a lot more, and ended up having no money into either. And, you know, that's the whole BRRRR strategy, being able to repeat it at the end of the day. Right. Buy, renovate, rent, refinance, and repeat. And that helped set me up for success. Later on, I ended up finding other deals that I simply just purchased straight out with credit cards, just getting good deals.
So you told me you called the credit card providers. Now, I've done this before. This was actually, so see, I was on the other side of the spectrum here. So you did this successfully. I did this not successfully, okay? So,
it happens, yeah.
So my very first deal, I'll tell you what. So we, first flip, I should say, I didn't have any money. We had two houses under contracts at one time. Sure. My bank, local bank, funded 100% of the one property, the rental that we were buying, because my partner backed out.
It's crazy. I love it.
100%. Yeah. Because our partner backed out a couple of days before closing. So it was either we just dropped the deal or the bank funded all, because I had no money at the time. So they did, they funded that all. But the flip house, I was like, I got to figure out how to get money. So anyways, I ended up taking some cash advances at the time. Needless to say, I bought the property too high and it just didn't work out. And so I lost a lot of money. But so it's funny to see, you know, you did it successfully, but you got to be safe because you could be like me and lose a lot of money as well. But so you said you called them up and you asked if they had any promotional options going on. What look like? You said 0% interest for 18 months. And do they do that all the time, or is it just something like just randomly they do?
So it depends. If you have the strong relationship, like all banks, all types of credit, it really comes down to the relationship first. So how many products, how many services are you taking advantage of, and how long you've been with that particular bank makes the world of difference. You know, I ended up being with Bank of America. It was the first one that I ended up utilizing in the beginning for real estate. And I you know, I signed up with them at a young age. Chase was another one that I utilized. And then there's Wells Fargo. I mean, there's a couple of banks out there that give you these promotional deals. The cash advances I've always stayed away from because you're going to get like 20 to 30%, you know, worse than hard money lenders or the mafia, right? It's expensive.
Right.
But yeah, just calling them up, seeing if there's any promotional deals going on. Sometimes they'll market to you, they'll send it in the mail. And it's so crucial and important to actually, you know, go through your mail. I know so many people that don't, you know, always just throw out all the junk mail, right? But you never know what it could potentially be, what offers are on there. So always just look through that stuff and see what kind of deals are going on. They sent me two different options. And one was, you know, a shorter time frame, and it was basically a little bit more expensive. The other one was, and more expensive is like 1 to 3%. The other one was 18 months at 0% interest, and there was a flat fee of, I think it was 2% at the time, but typically it's right around 3%.
So okay.
Flat. Gotcha. And then you do need to keep the monthly payments going, the minimum at least, and you can't actually use the card moving forward until that whole balance is paid, or else it's going, like if you use the card the next day, the interest will start accumulating right away for the whole amount. So it's something that I've learned over time, because that was screwing me over in the beginning.
Need to read the fine print.
They also have balance transfer options that really set you up for success as well. But this was kind of a combination of a balance transfer and almost like a cash advance, because they were actually wiring the money straight from my credit card into my bank account. So I would get it the next day or within 2 business days and be good to go and can use it. But it was at that 0% interest rate.
Okay, awesome. So just to give some people some clarification, you know, what are the pros and cons of using credit cards? Like, what are some things maybe like, all right, this is the good about it, but this is also the bad. Like, could you just go through a few of those? Because I know you're probably more versed in that than I am.
Yeah, man. So it hurt me. I had to learn the hard way in the beginning. I had no idea. And if you aren't getting educated, you know, in this space before just going at it like I did, you know, you're going to learn quickly. So my whole goal is to cash out refinance at the end. The problem with that is if you have a high balance on your credit cards, then your utilization is high. So if you're at 50% or above, you're in the red, like you're getting smacked in the face very hard by your utilization. And that makes up 30% of your FICO.
Gotcha.
So if that's the case, then it's going to be very difficult for you to, even if you have a bunch of equity in your property and you're telling them like, hey, I plan on taking this and just paying off the credit cards. It's hard to get them to realize that, or even look at you because your FICO score has dropped so much.
Makes sense. Yeah.
It could drop like 60 points or more. So it's very crucial to get very big lines of credit. And there's several ways you can do that. But to always stay at like under 30% of your total utilization.
Gotcha. Well, that's pretty cool. So I apologize for that. So what I'm hearing is, you need to make sure you're prepared, because a lot of times if you try to refinance, they'll see that your debt's higher, right? They pull those reports and they're seeing, hey, Brandon has, you know, $20,000, $30,000 on a credit card. Like, and that just popped up. Yeah, right?
I had like 90 in the beginning. You know,
90,000 on a credit?
Yeah, man. I've had a lot more in the past.
Well, I'm just thinking, just starting out, man, that's pretty, yeah. I mean, if you're stepping out, that's stepping out in faith.
Yeah. You know, once you get educated properly and you have a deal under contract, like fear comes from a lack of faith, right? And when you're educated, the faith just starts growing. And you definitely need to take a little bit of risk in this game though, at the same time.
Definitely. So let's bring this to the very basics for everybody. Let's say somebody, you know, they have pretty good credit, you know, they built their credit up. They're in real estate now. They're maybe done one or two deals. And how would you suggest somebody go about, you know, starting to use credit? Do you have any advice or anything like that just to help people, you know, get into this realm of real estate?
Yeah. So, you know, if you're going to be doing real estate, then you should really think of it as a business, because that's what it is. And if you're trying to grow it, you know, then it's important to start considering and thinking about actual setting up your business credit profile properly. 90% of people out there, and that's no exaggeration whatsoever, but regular mom and pops like you and me, starting a company, typically set up their foundation of business credit wrong. And that, you know, it really halts them and stops them, holds them back a little bit from getting, you know, to the full potential. Within 1 year, if you set up your business credit properly, you can actually get to $1 million in business credit. And that's not a cap. Like, that can keep going.
You said after how long?
Within 1 year.
1 year, guys. Listen to this. If you do this right, 1 year. Do you teach people how to do this?
Yeah. I teach all of it. You know, people can find more information on creditcounselelite.com. But yeah, there's several ways behind it. Understanding your personal credit and really setting that up first is crucial as well, because that's going to help your business credit and just setting it all up and being knowledgeable about it. So there's six boxes that make up your personal FICO, and being educated on that stuff is so, so crucial. It's really the night and day to anything.
Gotcha. So what I'm hearing from you is, you know, if you're in real estate and you want to utilize credit, it's key to getting the education to getting it set up right. Being informed, yeah. Finding somebody who knows about credit like Brandon, finding somebody that can walk you through the process of setting it up right. Am I correct?
Yeah, of course, 100%. And at the end of the day, it's not like I'm not the only person teaching this, or there's like tons of free education out there. You can get very well educated just on the six boxes if you jump on Credit Karma. You know, don't look at the score, because that's not your FICO, that's your Vantage score, which is completely wrong. But the six boxes that are on there is very educational if you just geek out on there for a little bit and play around.
So what would you say for somebody that's in real estate, but they have bad credit, right? So maybe they want to utilize what we're talking about, you know, they want to build their lines of credit, but they made some bad decisions in the past, build up some credit card debt. What would that look like?
Yeah, of course. So there's a couple different options. If you really wanted to learn how to fix your credit and get the results as fast as possible, or if you have a lot of other people in your circle as well that have, you know, a lot of possibly similar credit profiles negatively, and you're trying to fix theirs as well, then what you're going to want to do is reach out to us. We'll teach you how to do a credit sweep technique. And there, you know, you can get results within 5 business days. We can show people how to remove hard inquiries within 24 hours. But 5 business days, you can clean up your credit, and then up to 30 days. After that, if you wanted kind of like a do-it-for-you service, or if anything still lingers on there, then I would recommend our software. We have a do-it-for-you credit repair company that basically, once we take your information, we put it into the credit profile, into the software, we generate letters on your behalf. Every 45 days, letters go out, and we challenge the credit bureaus, the collection companies, and so forth, and we get the best results. Awesome. It is a little bit longer time frame, but I mean, we can remove anything and everything. Bankruptcies, we've been removing a lot right now. That should be on there, you know?
Right. Well, guys, listen, you have no excuse right now. We're giving you the tools you need to succeed. So that's why I love bringing people on like Brandon. Listen, there's so many resources out there in the real estate industry. You just have to have an open mind and be willing to look and be willing to accept it. Obviously, you want to vet the people you're learning from, the people that you're, you know, getting resources from. But listen, Brandon, he's been referred to me by several amazing people. So I trust people like Brandon. Listen, they're doing amazing things. But so tell me, how often do you use credit in your business right now? Is it like something you use on every flip, or is that just something that certain deals?
Yeah, so we do like to use private money as well. The private money is really for the long term. It's for relationship building. And instead of hooking up, you know, a bunch of hard money lenders, we rather take care of like some of our private money lenders, like my neighbors, you know,
right.
You know, and just build the relationship over a long time. That's where we can get huge, huge properties together. But we do like to use credit on an everyday basis, especially in real estate as well. And like our fourplex that we purchased here in San Diego recently, we ended up pulling out $200,000 through our credit because we had to close within 10 days, do or die type of thing. We had $50,000 hard on the deal. And I was $200,000 shy for, you know, it was 1.25 million. So I needed to come up with that really quick. I pulled it out of my credit just in case. And we ended up raising the money. So we didn't need it. I just paid it back into my credit cards. But I actually made $4,000 profit through a technique called manufacturer spending.
Wow, so, that's probably a whole nother conversation. give a little rundown real quick.
It's a deep rabbit hole, but basically that's another form of ways that you can complete, you know, purchase properties, purchase real estate, any business. You can fund any type of business. We've done hard money lending with our credit as well. And it's just a technique where you're circulating the credit so that you're creating points.
Okay.
At a thin air type of thing, right? Like you're just moving the money around constantly that you're, say if you spend $100,000 on a credit card that's a 3% cashback card, that, you know, it ends up being $3,000 gross.
Makes sense.
Minus a couple hundred dollars for the transactions, ends up being $2,500 profit. Well, you can do that every day. And, you know, that's $2,500 profit you're walking away with. That $100,000, you're just literally paying back off.
Yeah, makes sense. That's pretty cool. So
it's just a big circle, but that's how, if you ever have like 95% debt of your total credit lines, I can show you how to always report at 0% utilization, you know, so your credit score isn't affected at all.
Right. Well, that's crazy, man. You guys, there's so much knowledge being dropped right now. Listen, you're going to want to listen to this again. But if you didn't catch it, another thing a lot of people don't realize about using credit, you know, for fix and flips for all these projects is you get points. Credit cards give you free money for using their services.
Yeah.
Pretty much free money. I mean, that's money you could use. Shoot, you could pull that money, go on trips, maybe an annual vacation or something like that. I'm sure that's what you do, Brandon. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the beginning, before I knew all the free travels, the hotels, the car rentals, like all that free stuff and status matching to get like the penthouse suite for free. Before I knew that stuff, I was just utilizing the credit so I didn't get screwed over by contractors. You know, instead of giving them cash, I put it on credit. If they didn't do it, then I just call up the credit card company, they pay me back, right? And then also at the end of each remodel, I typically spent enough that I get enough points back that I can go on a free vacation with me and my lady. And it's like, you know, so we would just pick anywhere around the world and have a blast. And it's kind of just like a nice reward for yourself afterwards. Plus it's easy record keeping instead of giving out cash, you know? So it was nice.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're going down to Florida here soon. So we're actually doing the same thing. So I'm excited, man.
That's what it's about.
Yeah. So let's end this out with one final piece of advice for you. It could be about credit. It could be about anything real estate wise. Just if you were somebody's listening to this right now, most of the people listening, you know, they're kind of newer to real estate. Maybe they've got a deal, maybe they haven't, but what's some advice you would give them?
Yeah, man.
I know that's very broad. Let's focus it down. Let's focus it down to credit. So you don't have, you know, like what would be just some general advice you have for somebody?
So if you're the type of person that always pays on time and you don't have any issues with paying your bills on time, if you know, then I'm talking to you. If you struggle with potentially having a late payment here and there or forget about it, put it on auto pay, then just stay focused on making sure you always pay at least a minimum payment or some kind of dollar amount before the due date, right? But if you're the type of person you pay before the due date, never have any worries, but you're wearing your, like you're wondering why your score keeps fluctuating up and down, then I would encourage you to focus on your statement closing date for each individual card that you have, because they're all going to vary. So start paying it a couple days, pay off your balance in full a couple days before your statement closing date. And then you're going to see that when the statement closing date comes around, you're going to have a zero balance. Whatever balance that is, it's going to report out to the three credit bureaus. And that's what's going to fluctuate your utilization. And at the end of the day, you want to be at 9% or below. So there's like a million different things that I could talk about with credit, but I would love to help each and every one of you guys. If you guys have any questions at all, you can always reach out to us. We're, you know, check out the website. It's creditcounselelite.com. Otherwise, if you need credit repair, you could always reach out at, you could DM me anywhere on social media, but our credit repair company is creditrepairmobile.com. And I'm on Instagram at, you know, Brandon Elliott Investments, or facebook.com/Brandon Elliott Investor.
Well, awesome, man. Yeah, we'll put all those links down below, and I'm sure you'll have several people reaching out to you, because I know I'm going to chat with you more about this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for the longest time, once I made that bad decision, the first flip and everything, things just went south. I'm still trying to build up, you know, my credit from that and things. And I'm going to be honest with you, you know, I don't have the best credit score. I had like really good credit score and then did all that, and then it went down. Yeah. So I'm like, oh man, I got so frustrated with myself. But guys, listen, you need to check this guy out. Check out all his content. Check out his podcast. I mean, like, I've went on there, been checking it out. Listen, he has tons of episodes for you to go through about anything and everything in real estate. So you want to check that out along with his book. And Brandon, dude, thanks for coming on. I know you guys are busy, and I appreciate your time, dude.
Dude, I appreciate you so much, Michael. I really do. I appreciate the audience. And like I said, if I can ever do anything for each and every one of you guys, if you guys do leave a review to Michael, your podcast, and then if you jump on mine, hit that subscribe and leave a review for Ready, Set, Go Real Estate Investing Podcast, I will send you guys my book absolutely free for Action Driven. Otherwise, if you guys would just want to pay for it, you can find it on Amazon. So just,
yeah, let's do that. If you guys leave a review on my podcast and then go to the Ready, Set, Go Real Estate Investing Podcast and leave a review there, we'll track them. We'll see. I know who's in my audience for the most part. So we'll go through and track, and we'll send you guys a free book of Action Driven. I think that's pretty cool, dude. I think that's pretty legit. So thanks, man, for doing that. I appreciate you guys. Listen, if you like this content, just please do us a favor. Leave us a review. We do this every week. Every Tuesday, we have people come on just like Brandon, people that are doing millions in real estate, people that, you know, have the expertise that you need to take your real estate business to the next level, or to, you know, get it kickstarted. So guys, I appreciate you, and stay tuned for more, because we have tons of guests lined up and we can't wait to bring them to you. So guys, God bless. Brandon, we'll see you later, dude.
God bless, guys.
All right, see ya. We'll be right back.